Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen. New Beginnings is not just for the young. And I cannot stop saying that. Amen. We'd like to thank you for tuning in. This is another Wednesday, another day. And we thank God for the opportunity of life and having life more abundantly. As we move in, we're here every Wednesday. And we do thank you again for tuning in, taking up an hour of your time. We are We are via phone as well as Zoom, and I would like to let you know that all microphones are open. And if you could, please, ma'am, please, sir, if you could, please mute your phones except for the speaker. And when the speaker opens up, if he gives an opportunity to share a word, then you can open up your unmute yourself. Amen. So you have the opportunity to be able to do that, to be able to unmute yourself at will. Amen. When the speaker opens up, that makes it easier for everyone. We don't have to do that on this end to open up the lines when the speaker gives an opportunity. Amen. We'd also let you know that we are going by Zoom. For those of you who are listening by internet, if you'd like to call by phone, the call-in number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. You can be connected via phone. Amen. Those of you who are listening by internet, if you would like to get on the Zoom, we are pushing the Zoom as well, and the Zoom number is 505-563-6808. That's 505-563-6808, and the password is Psalms, capital P-S-A-L-M 23. Psalms, capital P-S-A-L-M 23. Psalm 23. Amen. At the end of this, and we'd like to, if you would like to share it with a friend, and we hope that you do, you can go into the archives and you can share this message from the speaker this evening. You would go into Blog Talk Radio, then type in We Can Begin Again and go into the archives, and you can share this message. Be a blessing to someone. Amen. If there's a time that we need to speak life with all the confusion and everything we have going on, it is a time such as this. Amen. And when we're all connected with the will of God, amen, all things work together for the good of those who are called according to his purpose. Amen. We are going to open up the mics for Bishop Storrs, and he's going to pray, and then the next part you will hear will be a word, and we are coming from Proverbs 12. Proverbs 12. We do ask that you read the scriptures prior to coming on so that you have, if you have not looked at it, if you have not looked at it at any time lately, then you will have an understanding or some more clarity, and God will give a revelation, you know, from this rhema word this evening. Amen. So right now we're going to move on over with Bishop Storrs, who is our guest speaker from out of Bishop Charles Storrs. I need to give this full name, from out of Princeton, West Virginia. Amen. My hometown. And I always love to hear those who are called to come on to share a word with the body of Christ. Bishop Storrs, are you there?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hello. Can you? Amen. Amen. Thank God for the opportunity again. Blessings to each and every one of you. It is, again, an honor to be here. I wanted to say a word of prayer and just get right into chapter 12 of Proverbs. I didn't want to really go into the entire 28 verses, but I wanted to kind of just pull out a few verses that was interesting to me, and things that kind of we're dealing with at this time, I believe that I'm dealing with, we're dealing with at this time. And if there's any verses that you all have, or anyone else that's listening has want to, as we open up the opportunity to speak, you know, we want to expound on that. I will feel free to do that. But let's start out with a word of prayer, if we could. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your great grace and mercy, your hand of protection and provision. Your God, as you watching over us all the way up until this point at this hour, we thank you that even in the midst of this hour of chaos and confusion, you have called us into this time. You have a plan for us, a purpose for us, and a destiny for us. We pray for understanding. We thank you for the desire that you laid up on the hearts of the pastors and today, Pastor Clay and First Lady Clay, for just having the spirit of wisdom and desire to teach us and utilize your spirit to talk to us in this area as we so need it. We're asking right now that your Holy Spirit moves in a mighty way, that you bless, and that you talk with us. and not only talk with us, but transform us, not only to be a hearer of your word, but to be a doer as well. We thank you now for all that you've done, that you are doing, and that you will do. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray. Amen. Proverbs chapter 12. I looked at that, and as we all know, it's a contrast between what's good and what's right, and what's good and what's bad, and what better time to really talk about the wisdom of God and the desire of God and the plan of God, and such as a time like this. And I was I'd heard a story, and I wanted to replay that story, a story that I heard before. It was about a young boy who was born with one arm. He did not have both arms. He had lost one arm, and his mother used to always tell people when he would walk around to, as he was growing up, that he had his arm tied behind his back. He had his arm tied behind his back so nobody would tease him and mess with him. She was always really protective of him and watched over him. And so one day he desired that he wanted to get into karate, into wrestling. And his mother said, no, you can't do karate. You can't do wrestling. I love you, but you are handicapped. You are unable to do these things. And so I want to protect you, and I want to make sure that everything is all right. So no, you can't do it. And so he continued to be persistent with asking her. And so finally she reluctantly gave in to his request. And she took him to the teacher, and the sensei and the instructor was there. And she talked to him, and she told him, she said, now he's handicapped. And he said, I don't really know if he is or not. And she said, yes, he only has one arm, but he's handicapped. And she said, well, if he learns this one move, I think everything will be all right. And he has to study it, and he has to really practice it, and he has to really be focused at what he's doing. But if he learns this one move, everything will be okay. And so his mother was still kind of dealing with that thought, but she allowed him to go. And so the young boy kept learning the move and kept practicing the move and kept practicing and practicing. And the teacher would tell him when he was doing wrong, and when he wasn't doing wrong, he would get on him, who's strict and rough, and would get on him, but he practiced it, and he got it down. And so he started winning events. And so finally he went into the state championship, and he's standing up to the state championship, and he's there. And the teacher, his instructor, told him, you just continue to do the one move, and it'll be all right. And so the judge came up there to him, and he was standing beside the boy, and he looked at the boy. He said, no, we're not going to have him on doing this wrestling match, this karate match. We're not having him up here. This guy only has one arm. He has a right arm. He doesn't have a left arm. He just has one. He's handicapped. It's not fair. We're not going to do it. And the instructor said, he's fought this hard to be here. Let him do it. And so he did it, and needless to say, he won the state championship. And he went to the instructor, and he asked the instructor, he said, why did you have so much confidence in me? He said, I believe that if you practice that one move, if you got that one move down, that you would be okay, that you would win every time, that any event that you operated in, any event that you entered in, you would win. He said, well, how did you know for sure? I mean, you wasn't even concerned about the people that I would be fighting or up against. You just knew for sure. How did you know for sure? And the instructor said, I only have one arm. How did you know that whoever? He said, it did not matter whoever you fought. He said, the move that I taught you could only be countered by grabbing the left arm, and that's one you do not have. And I think about us at this time right now, that the world, the way the world is, the enemy thinks that the church is handicapped. We're dealing with chaos and confusion and all kinds of things. And so it looks as though we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. We know that. But the enemy has invaded the ranks and files of all of us with the COVID and the isolation and everything that we've had. We're now left to our own thinking, our own ideas, our own ideologies. We don't know what's right and what's wrong, what's different. But I believe if we focus on this one understanding that God has, this one principle, if we get wisdom and totally understand wisdom, that things will be extremely well with us. Things will go well with us, God's favor, God's grace, God's mercy, God's guidance will follow us. And I find it interesting that in the very first chapter, the very first verse of chapter 12 says, whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish, or in some translations it says stupid. And then it says, a good man obtains favor of the Lord, but a wicked man devices will be condemned. A man shall not be established by wickedness, but by the root of righteousness shall he not be moved. Then he goes on to say, a virtuous woman is a crown of her husband, But she that maketh ashamed is the rottenness in his bones. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for the blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. Just in those six verses, he's speaking the spirit. He's speaking with wisdom. He's speaking with understanding. But the very first verse that he tells us is that whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is stupid, or is brutish. And brutish means it's sensual, always with emotions. And I find that unless we are really going to move in the direction that God wants us to move, we got to be willing to take counsel. And I would rather hear the applause of correction than the applause of flattery. Because the applause of correction is someone promoting truth and encourage me to follow in it. But the applause of flattery is someone who's willing to compromise for the approval of acceptance. And we're living in a time right now where nobody really wants to hear instruction. I think sometimes, very rarely, does my son do this. But as a 16-year-old, he will do this when I'm talking to him at different times. And I'll be communicating with him. And I'll say something, hey, you son, you hear me? Yeah, Dad, yeah, I hear you. He's saying I hear you, but he really doesn't hear me, because the all actuality is he doesn't really want to deal with correction. I find lots of times that's where we're coming with the people in the body of Christ, that we want to be able to sit under or be around godly counsel, good counsel, someone that corrects us when we're doing wrong. Correction actually means that God loves me. I want to have friends around me that's not going to accept just everything that I do, but is willing to communicate with me and let me know and bring truth to bring about correction and instruction, so I can now move forward into the ways that I'm supposed to go in and the ways that God has us to go. And lots of times I find that we are inundated with people that only think like us or exactly like us, so to speak, but we're not really focused so much on having people around. We don't like the correction that God wants to give us. And sometimes God gives us correction through friends, through this, through that, through growing up. I think about just coming through Father's Day, how we were growing up and our fathers corrected us when we were doing wrong. It's a discipline. It's a way that gives us inheritance for my children's children, when I can actually move upright. So the beginning of the process of me actually moving into the ways of truth is first being able to accept correction. And we're in a society right now where we're calling right wrong and wrong right. And anybody that goes up, bucks up against the truth, they want to put you down. They want to blast you. They want to say this. Your preachers and pulpits at different times or different places are reluctant. Some are reluctant to really speak because of the truth, because they're afraid that it might offend someone or destroy someone. It's not the fire and brimstone truth I'm talking about, but the actual truth from a biblical perspective. And I want to be around people that are promoting me and promoting godliness and favor and these things that happens in my life. And then I looked at it and it says, a good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but the wicked devices will he condemn. We're at a time right now in the society right now where it doesn't seem like the good people seem like that they're coming in last. They're not being successful. We see the wicked are prospering and all kinds of things, and so the enemy is making it appear as though that's the way it is. We have my generation, my children's generation, are so caught up on the materialistic ideas of what's going on, that the scratching the surface, that people are losing their identity for the sake of just having popularity and all kinds of stuff. The music that they listen to, some of the entertainers that they follow have lost their true purity of who they are. They do things from a deceitful perspective, even from government all the way down. This thing is deceitful. But God is saying, in a sense, that as long as I continue to strive to be good, not only does his gracious follow good and bad, but I get favor from him in the midst of what's going on. And I don't know about you, but in the time that we're dealing and living in right now, I need God's favor on my life for every situation that goes on, from COVID to from the inflation, from everything. God's favor will extend and bless. And then he speaks and he moves from that area and he moves to the area of a virtuous woman, which is a crown, which we know that in Proverbs 31, but it's a crown of her husband. But he maketh ashamed, but she that maketh ashamed is rotten to his bones. And it can flip both ways. It can go from Solomon speaking to his son, or it can speak of men as well. But we know that we're now, I have a daughter as well, 14-year-old, and then there's a society that the young women are revealing themselves and exposing themselves and doing all kinds of nip and tuck and all kinds of stuff to make you look this superficial type of surface type things, but that's not really what it's about. And it led me to scripture. It led me to the scripture in Genesis when you had Rachel and Leah, which Rachel and Leah, I don't know if you're familiar with Rachel and Leah, when Jacob was dealing with Rachel and Leah, the Bible says that Rachel was beautiful to the sight, but Leah was delicate-eyed, which we don't know if that means that she was cross-eyed or she had a problem with her eyes or she was just pale or whatever it might be, but she wasn't as pretty as Rachel was. But Leah was the oldest, and Rachel was the youngest, and so Jacob wanted this first. But Leah actually gave more to the body of Christ, or gave more to the more sons to Jacob that would promote the children of Israel than Rachel did. But yet the Bible says she was delicate-eyed or cross-eyed or whatever. And I think about in this world today, in this generation today, I have to tell my daughter that, you know, be who you are, be happy with and be comfortable with who you are, and strive to not even become so much concerned about what others are doing in this, but have the respect for yourself and self-respect so you can bring honor and favor to those who are around you. And I thought about Rachel and Leah, not saying that Rachel wasn't, but Leah didn't look the greatest. She wasn't this. But if she was cross-eyed, at least we would need to be able to have somebody now in this day that would see things through the cross more so than a worldly perspective on how things are operating. And so then we looked at that, and so then it said that the words of the wicked will lie in wait of the blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. And we're at a time, even right now, from the government, from everything else, to where the lies is just the norm. It's the norm that goes on. And so people are establishing themselves with these lies and these things that happen and that occur. And I truly believe that if we're going to operate and function with this wisdom that God is wanting us to deal with and to operate in, that we're going to speak the truth regardless of how it feels, regardless of how it looks like. If you lose friend, whatever it might be, we still strive to speak the truth. And then last thing I looked at, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 7 says, the wicked are overthrown and are no more, but the house of the righteous will stand. And there's going to come a time when whatever we're seeing is going to come to an end. But the house of the righteous shall stand. And I looked at Matthew. I remember Matthew chapter 7, where the Bible speaks of the house built on rock and on sand. And they both built the house, and the storms both came, and it came on both things, and they both heard the word. The Bible says that the storms came, they both built a house, one built on rock, one built on sand, but the storms came. What made the house on sand not function the way that the house on rock was, it's not only did they have a storm, not only did they hear the word, but the Bible said, but he that doeth the word is like the man who builds his house on the rock. But so the one with the sand didn't do the word. And so sand is a form of rock, but it's actually rock compromise. And so we're living in a church where you have some sandy Christians that are in the sanctuary, but they're not built on the solid rock because they're so busy compromising the truth of what it is, that storms are going to come in everyone's life. We're going to deal with sickness. We're going to deal with loss. We're going to deal with frustration. We're going to deal with this. But if I establish my house on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, the foundation, and I do what's right, I get fine favor, and everything around me will become blessed, I believe God operates and blesses us in those areas, in those ways. And so I think that when we get to that point, he now lets me know that in verse 8, I don't have a perverse heart. And my heart is right. I'm striving to do what's right. And so the Bible says that he sees the heart and the intents of demands, and his heart is perverse. And so I don't have that perverse heart. And so I look at that scripture, and it's the scripture of Proverbs 12, and it's a contrast between good and evil. It's a contrast between doing what's right and saying what's right. It's a contrast between, are we really establishing the truth that we hear and we know? Are we walking in it, or are we desiring to be this way? Because wisdom now, when I do the will of God, God begins to promote different things and bless me in my life. Amen. Does that make any sense to you? So I believe that when I'm striving to do those things, that God begins to bless. And so I'm living in a time right now to where The enemy is trying to pull wisdom away from the church, pull wisdom away from the home, pull wisdom away from this, having people to lean to their own understanding. We have the chaos, the inflation, the confusion, the chaos, the job loss, the COVID, the sickness, the, all these type of things. The churches with the itching ears, the pulpits not seducing spirits. These things are happening even at this time. The wars, the rumors of wars, the division in our nation, in our government, against this, against that, the social divide, the economic divide, the racial divide that we have. And so it gives us the desire to strive to begin to lean to our own understanding. And when we begin to lean to our own understanding, we begin to eradicate areas of wisdom that God so desires for us. So now we ain't even wanting to hear the truth. Now we don't want to be around anybody that's speaking the truth. Now we're so judgmental over this person. Now we're criticizing this thing. Now we're speaking perverse things in this area. Now we're not promoting this type of thing. Now we can't discipline our children because we want to be friends with them, and then instead of governing them under the desire that God has so ordained in the family. I think about even the scripture with Adam and Eve, and I thought about the whole situation with Adam and Eve as the priest of the house, the man of the house, as the home, so to speak, that when Eve actually ate of the fruit. She actually caused, if you read the scripture, the Bible says she initially did eat of the fruit in Genesis. She ate of the fruit. She initiated the fall, so to speak. And then she gave to Adam, and he did eat. So she began the process. This is not a knock on women, but when God comes to take account, he does not go to Eve. He goes to Adam, and he asks Adam, where are you? And so God is telling the man and the priest of the house, those who are operating with a level of wisdom, where are you? Pastors and preachers and teachers and leaders of your home, where are you? In order for these enemy that's coming in to try to take our children and take our generation and take our church out, eating this forbidden fruit, where are we standing when we are to partake in the things that is not right? And we're living in the society, I think now, brothers and sisters, where everybody is striving to do what they assume is right more so than this, what God says is the wisdom. And if I function with the wisdom, and the first thing I have to do is begin to have the ability to have the desire and ability to take counsel, to not always think that I'm right all the time, but to be willing to accept someone else's way or looking at things, a viewpoint, and then operating in them, because God loves those who he loves, he chastens. And so sometimes he will put people in our path. I've got friends right now that sometimes don't like the things that I might say to them because it's not does not correlate with the way that they might be doing things. But if you're going to ask me a question and I think that I have the answer, and the answer is predicated upon the word of God and it's the truth of God, how it is, I'm not going to compromise it or twist it or turn it around. I'm just going to give you the truth. Now, if you're willing to accept that, the Bible says then every other area from verse 2 on down to 28, we're going to be blessed if we can first take the instruction and loveth knowledge. But if we don't take instruction and loveth knowledge, we're not of the righteous or the wisdom. We are of the folly of the opposite that he just says. Is there any comments at this? I just want to give this opportunity now. It's just 30 minutes in. Any comments?
It's good word. Good word.
I would also like to indicate, I thought that was a pretty mighty word, especially the discussion of building the house on sand versus rock, and building a house on rock is God's word, and it's able to weather any storm as opposed to building on sand. And we being teachers, spreaders of the gospel, you have to know what the gospel is so that you're able to lead, able to teach, and spread the gospel. But anyway, you also want to align yourself with people that you can learn from, attending church, Bible study. But anyway, those are pretty mighty words.
Amen. Amen. To add to the way you said, you're exactly right. I believe that we do. We align ourselves. I think sometimes we, for the sake of just camaraderie with whatever friendship or just familiarity, you know, we familiarity destroys honor, in a sense. God, Jesus was able to heal and do all kinds of things in Capernaum, but when he comes back home, the Bible says he could only heal a few sick, whatever, because they only recognize him as Mary's child, as Joseph's, you know, the carpenter, and this, and they didn't recognize that because they had gotten familiar with it, so they don't honor. And lots of times when we are around people that our lives have changed, or God has converted us and moved us from the old man to the new, and we are now witnessing to other people, they can't see the wisdom of God because they can't see the honor that God places on us or the anointing that God places on us because they gotten so familiar with it, as comfortable with who you used to be. And so I think that there has to be, as you said, an alignment, but I also believe that there has to be a realignment, because as God brings us to a place of understanding, we should strive to be around people that want to think higher than us, the desire for us to move higher. Because if, as my dad always would say, if all that I know is what I already know, how do I know that I know enough? And so when we align ourselves with individuals that are striving to move higher, it causes us to walk faster and to move in that area. And the enemy knows that. That's why he's having the seducing spirits and doctrines of demons that's coming into church and twisting and changing the way that the word is actually being. Look, when I was in here at this at our church, we try to be relevant to what's going on to the society. So I had removed the bow tie at times and put on the T-shirt and put on the blue jeans. But I have changed my clothes, but I have not changed my identity. And I think lots of times in the church, we trying to be everything to all people, we lose who we really are as functioning as the church. And so we lose a level of wisdom because now they don't see us in the place of wisdom, but they see us in the place of what's familiar. And so now we're trying to operate from that perspective. And so what happens is we begin to compromise. And so that becomes the sand that we start building on. Now we quit doing the word. We're actually hearing it, but we actually understand it, but we don't do it. Because the Bible says he who does it is like the man who builds his house on the rock. And so I don't think God is so much interested in what we know, but how we go and what we show what we know. And so when we start moving in those directions, the people will be drawn, or God will draw, and they'll say, what must I do? And so I have to now put myself in a position of, I have to show myself to be wise. And the way I have to show myself to be wise is, first thing, I have to make sure that I don't conceal things, that my lips are not wicked, that I don't have a root of bitterness on the inside, that I don't desire anything that's wrong. I don't have a, as I used to have a, as the Bible said in verse 16, a fool's wrath. I just initially lose my cool or whatever, because lots of times we speak before we think, and sometimes we think and don't know what we're speaking. And so I believe that the two have to function together, and that's wisdom, because if you get knowledge, then knowledge is the product that bursts out the wisdom, because now you're functioning with the knowledge that you know to be true. And I think that when we move that way, we start doing the blessings and the blessing that God has, because he's so, if you read this chapter, he's speaking of the lips of truth shall be established, but the lying tongue is but for a moment. We're living at a time right now, and there's no knock to any politics or anything else, but we don't know what to believe. That we used to call the big lie. We thought this was this. We thought this was that. We have the commission that's showing us what's this and what's this way, but we still have people that it does not matter. Whatever that you say, they've already established a thought process, an ideology, the way things are going. And so now the enemy knows that, so if he can get us to stay, if he can keep us to be lying at certain things, we first lie to ourselves before we can lie to somebody else. We have to believe the lie ourselves before we can be able to speak it as though it's true. And so we lose that level of wisdom. And I think it's God is calling the church to be a greater influence in a society that has no covering. They have no governor. They have no direction. They are just floundering, doing whatever they want to do. I go to the stores, I see people, their road rage is everywhere. People are just selfless, and they're all about themselves. And it's the culture that we live in and the society that we live in. If you get inundated with it so much, and then before you know it, they sit in the pews, and that same mindset is there. But it might be silent, but it's still sitting there. We have a responsibility now that when God brings us in our presence to speak the truth, to speak wisdom, to speak knowledge, because the Bible says his word shall not return void. So that's what we're called to do at this hour. I believe that at this time. Anybody, anyone else?
Good evening, Bishop. Hello, sisters.
Good evening.
Stacey Thomas of Shiloh.
Hey.
Good evening, good evening. Just to elaborate a little bit on what you said, we're just, the times, yeah, they're really crazy. If you don't know God, it's scary. It can be scary. Just the time when they've made this cancel culture such an object now, to where if somebody doesn't agree with what you say, they can literally ostracize you in society. Just dealing with things like that, to where the enemy has tricked people into thinking that it's okay to argue with the word of God, which is written. It is God's word. It's his breathed word. It's scripture. And they can argue with it, and if they don't agree with it, they can just count you out. They can, you know, just throw it to the side. So I think as Christians, we have to arm ourselves to the tooth with the word. You can't just go by what you hear. But you do have to study the word. You have to show yourself approved, because we're in a time now where you're getting darts thrown at you, and they're not just little dull darts. They're actually darts of fire. And the average person, if you think you got it going on in the Lord, the average person will actually catch fire by those darts and won't know how to dodge them, won't know how to pick the darts up and throw them back. Or to cancel them all together. And that's just the society that we're living in. It's a sad thing to see, but I'm happy to know God. So,
Amen.
Just
that's
wanted
good.
To put my 2 cents worth in.
If I could, I would like to, like you said, Sister Stacey, so good. And I guess, in other words, too, we know we talk and we see these type of things, that the growth doesn't actually mean decay to others. Basically, we're right now, we're so evil to everyone. And when I say evil, I mean evil in the sense of, and I'm not talking about wicked people. I'm talking about church-going, Bible-toting Christians, you know, laying hands, you know, speaking, those individuals are evil, because we think that we have the ability to advance ourselves by putting someone else down. And so then we get established by just treating people just cruelly or whatever. And so that doesn't actually translate into anything other than just hurt and just division and this chaos. And then the enemy doesn't move right then. He actually sets up camp and then has his way, and then he just takes over. And so, yeah, we really have to strive to stay prayed up and pray together and just function with wisdom. I have to, you know, I'm raising a 16-year-old and a 14-year-old that's in a society where you're giving them biblical principles, but the society is pushing back on everything you give them. Well, that's not the way we do it. Well, that's not. Oh, that's old school. Or we don't do that no more. That's outdated. And so you have to continue to not only tell them, but you have to walk in it to show them. And so I believe that that's what God is really wanting us to do. Not so much speaking, it's been this about this lip service, but actually walking in the ways of God. Because too many of us have danced and created and done this, but we actually have to walk this thing out now, because the enemy is attacking, and he's looking at who he can devour, and he knows who's counterfeit and who's for real. And so we have to strive to stay together and stay focused. So, yeah, I think that we pray together and stay strong together, and iron sharpens iron, and we glean from each other. We function. We have different experiences, but we have the same God that we experience as Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Nisi. He's everything. So when we function that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Mike's on.
Anyone else? Amen.
Well, Bishop, I agree with you in the times that we live in. And right now, It reminds me of the scripture out of Kings, I believe, where it says that everyone did that which was right in his own eyes. There is no morality is at a all-time low, and everyone, even church, is divided, and we have just we've lost our first love. I don't know where we are in the mix of all of this. It's like we are silent. We haven't said anything, and we are not doing anything about it. And that's just my opinion now. Maybe there are some things going on that I haven't seen. But we are living in this troubled time now that truth is no longer truth. Your truth may not be my truth, you know, and all of that, but there's only one truth. It can't be two or three truths, you know. Even in science, if it doesn't come out and we have enough on the right side of it, it's not true. It proves out not to be valid. So we can't live in this society like this. A house divided against itself won't stand, will it? And so we are just we have to stay vigilant and intentionally look for and follow the voice of God. Hear him, because it is crazy right now.
Amen. Amen. And is there any particular verse in the Proverbs, in this 12th chapter of Proverbs, that kind of hits home to anyone? I mean, I know that it's all good and it all speaks of different things, but, you know, I think about it as we talk about the society and time we're living in, and like I think verse 20 talks about the speech is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but the counsels of peace is joy. And so, And I think back to the 10 virgins, 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. Well, the 5 were 5 wise and the 5 foolish did the same thing. They left. They all slept. They all slumbered. They all fell asleep. They all got up and trimmed their wicks. But the foolish ones did not carry enough oil for them. They didn't have the ability to endure and through tough times. And we're believe that we're in a time right now where there's the separation that's going on. We're knowing about the weak and the tearing. We believe that it's shaking, and those who were rooted and, as the older folks used to say, built on the anchored in the Lord, a solid foundation, we're going to be able to endure through the midst of what's happening. Might not be pleasant, but God says, in this world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer. I have overcome, and we're overcomers. So we don't fight for victory, we fight from the position of victory, and so then therefore we can just rest in him. And we're at a time right now where people are just going, we see all of these mass shootings, all of these chaos that's happening with the all these the mental issues that's happening. We think that we believe that the enemy is attacking all kinds of ways. He's just attacking. And you're right, the church, I don't know if we're silent in a sense or we've just been stunned and paralyzed, because I don't say all churches, because I can't say all churches, but I know for so long we have been playing church for so long that when it's time to really be church, we don't know how that looks, what that looks like. And so, you know, we know how to hoop and we know how to holler and we know how to shout, we know how to sing, but we don't know how to get rid of the enemy that's in our household. We know how to dance and do this. We know how to stand up and testify in church, but we don't know how to really change the dynamics of who we are. And it begins, as I was on the last time, it begins with repentance. And do you remember in the Bible says Herodias was there, and John the Baptist was actually in prison. And he was in prison, and Herodias was behind the scenes. And the king, they had some all kinds of chaos and sensual situations going on. And so the girl, she gets out and she starts dancing in front of the king. And so the king is now mesmerized, and he looks at her and he says, "Whatever you want, I'll do it." And she says, "I want John the Baptist's head on a platter," because Herodias said, "This is what you asked for." And she's behind the scenes. She's not on the scene, but she's behind the scenes, and this is what you do. And so then not only does the enemy want doesn't want the voice of God, the children of God, the people of God, the ministers of God. He wants them imprisoned. Not only does he not want them imprisoned, but he wants the head. He wants to take the head off of the body because he knows that if he can take the head, because John the Baptist had only one message, which was repentance. And if he can take the head from the body, then the church can no longer repent of their things. So now they don't have the wisdom to even seek what's right because there's no repentance, because now a man's way seems right in his own heart. And so now she's behind the scenes. So although it's not there, we come to church, but there's still a spirit that's trying to silence us and take our head to do this and do this. And so some churches, to keep from even having to deal with the battle, they just now keep upon themselves people with each in the ears, and they just tell you what you want to hear to make you feel good. Mm-hmm. And so you got a feel-good moment. And in all actuality, some ministers is nothing but drug dealers because they just push a Novocaine and numbing you for a minute to give you a spiritual high, but never a spiritual healing. And so now you just get high and you go home high. And when you know how it was when you got in the world, I don't know about you, but when I was out in the world, when the high runs off, you got a headache. And so now that's what happens. You get a headache. Ain't nothing's going to seem to be right. But the Bible says if you have the mind of Christ, then he'll keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. And so we're at a time right now where we know that the enemy is after repentance, and nobody wants to speak repentance. But if we talk about repenting, turning away the way that we think, and if we turn the way that we think, then we go right back to verse 1 that says, now we are willing to accept the counsel of God, and he'll show us our ways, and then we can move into the things of God. Then God will show us the favor of God, and then when we see the folly of men, we ain't got to worry, because he said, you still established, because everything's going to be good.
I was looking at verse 17, where it says that he that speaketh truth showeth of I can't read it, showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness is deceit. And it goes on to talk about truth again in verse 14. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. So we can't go anyplace if there's no truth in
right.
You know, if we're not speaking for truth, we can't. We're going to just be caught up in this vicious he say, she say thing without the truth, you know. And so God is, I'm not sure where we are right now, but I know it's chaotic. It really is, you know.
Right.
And but for the word of God and but for the spirit of God, I guess we all would be out there, you know, running around like a chicken with his head cut off. But we know that this is not God. And God is not a God of confusion. So we know that the enemy is busy. He is constant right now, you know.
Right. Yeah. Amen. And I believe that God is raising up pastors and leaders and preachers after his own heart, because he knows that the enemy, you got a lot of hirelings out there, but now God is in these last and evil days, he's raising them up. And here's the thing, those that he raises up, he's not going to raise up as being groomed in the church. He's not raising them up from that area. I believe God is grooming the next great evangelist that's sitting in the crack house right now, that's dealing drugs right now, that's doing this and doing that. Somebody who has that testimony. Yeah. Somebody who can be able to tell the generation who's dying in their own ways and their own sin, hey, I've been there. I've done that. Let me show you and tell you about a man who can do all things. So because if you don't look like where the people that you're talking to, I think the problem was with Moses at the time. You remember when Moses was dealing with the and he killed he was with the same people and he killed them. They said, oh, he's killing the people. He was trying to be accepted to some degree, and so he had to be put out here sometimes. God, he will raise you up and move you out of the crowd, but yet you'll be schooled in that same mess, so you'll be able to know how it looks like, so you don't be so judgmental and so hypocritical and so critical that you'll have a heart of compassion. Because if you haven't never dealt with sin, you don't know what it feels like. But it's hard for me to believe that a saint can't do that, because the Bible said he who knew no sin became sin. So if God was touched with my infirmities, I can't get spiritual amnesia once I get into the church. I got to be willing to tell somebody, hey, I've been there.
Amen.
I had a trouble. I've been there. But let me tell you about this guy, this man named Jesus who can heal. So I believe that that's what he's doing. He's bringing people after his own heart and the wisdom of God. they're going to be the folly and the foolish, but they're going to look back and say, now I'm wise. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I acted like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. But the problem is we got some grown-up children in the church right now that needs to be healed.
Glory.
Any comments? Anybody?
We have a lot of lines here, and I guess we have, I'll call those silent listeners, those who are, you know, just feeding off the word, but not choosing to share what they like best, you know, from what's being said. I am, since everyone is silent, I usually like make my comments on the end. You know, but I was focusing on seven. It said, the wicked are overthrown and are no more, but the house of the righteous stands forever. And when I looked at that, and it's very similar to what you were saying, we're getting so caught up with deception, and we're getting so caught up with lies, and those who are out there who are telling lies, you know, what we're seeing, they're getting trapped. They're lying, and they're getting trapped. And many want to come forth, you know, to share the truth or come to Christ, but they're so caught up with lies and people knowing that they lied, but and they're choosing not to do that. And I think that is nothing but, you know, a deception. That is nothing but the trick of the enemy to prevent those forth, you know, and just turn their life over. Because I believe that after a period of time, you know, people have a conscience, and the conscience will beat you up from all the lies been told, you know, and I just believe that we're there. And if we continue sharing the word of God and letting others know, you know, that God is real, you know, we can, the word of God is going to speak for itself. It's not going to come back.
Amen.
But we cannot be silent. We cannot be afraid, which one of the things we should have, be able to do is have fear of sharing the word of God with others that we come in contact with. Mm-hmm. We should be doing that with his friends, no matter if it's on our job. And when we begin to do that, then people are going to see Christ within. They're not going to look at us in terms of being just like everyone else. They're going to see something different. And when they run into trouble or they have troubling times, they're going to come directly to you. They're going to come directly to you. Why? Because they trust you. They feel that you're going to be authentic and you're going to tell the truth. You're going to give them exactly what, you know, how it is, and it's going to be infused with the word of God. So we look at it and thinking that those who are wicked, you know, those who are doing wrong, that they are ahead, but in actuality, eventually, you know, they're going to fall. And the ones that are going to stand are the ones who have their foundation built, you know, on the righteousness of God. Those are the ones who are going to stand in the long run. It talks about the, you know, the first will be last and the last will be first. You know, we're looking at it, you know, from a distorted view. And those who are standing firm on the word of God, those are the ones who are going to end up standing when it's all said and done.
Yeah. And, you know, John, also the word says to, I was going to ask the bishop, what would you tell your congregation about what's going on now and how we are to handle that? But the scripture came up to me that we overcome evil, not by doing evil, but by doing good. So we that know the Lord and know the word of God, we have to continue to push the truth at any cost and be verbal about it. I mean, if you hear somebody saying something that's contrary, and you know, everybody might not receive it, but I believe that there will be some that will hear what you're saying because of your reputation and who you are. They know who you are, and they value what you say. So when we can only influence those in our sphere of influence, those people around us, our loved ones that are, you know, confused and wondering what's going on and what's going to happen with us. We overcome that evil by doing good. That's the only way we're going to get through this.
Amen. Amen. I was thinking about what you were saying, if I could just briefly, you know, it's right, it's speaking the truth regardless. And I think just from an earthly perspective, my father, he knows a lot of people, and a lot of people know him.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people don't know him like I know him. So they'll have a conversation about him in the general aspect of who he is. But when it comes down time to understand, you know, what he does and what he likes here and this and that, and they start talking when they don't know him, I'm like, no, you know, that's not him. You don't know my daddy like I know my daddy.
Right.
And I think many of our church, many of us as body of the Christ, it's hard for us to say, you don't know my daddy like you know my daddy, because when we hear something, we're like, I don't really know if that's my daddy. I don't know.
I don't even know.
So I think now that I have to make sure that, as verse 24 says, the hand of the diligent shall bear fruit. That means that I got to go steady, because diligent means steady. It don't mean I got to go fast. I got to stay steady, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. So if I just stay, as they say, in my lane and flow with the anointing
or the presence of God
that he has in my lane, and I stay steady there, he will draw, and then I'll be able to water and feed, and then he gives the increase. And so I think that this is a time that we just stay steady and let God begin to continue to show his glory and his favor and his blessing upon us, and all we have to say is it's nothing but God, it's nothing but the Lord.
Amen.
Thank God for Jesus, and that's how he does it.
Amen. I agree with you. Amen.
Yeah, that's so true. That's so true.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Bishop, thank you so much for taking the time to share with us a word from the Lord. We do appreciate you coming on, and I know that you are a busy person. You know, and I appreciate those who take opportunities to come on to share with the body of Christ. That's just very special. It's very special. And the beauty of it is it doesn't make a difference where you live. It doesn't make a difference what state you live in or what country. But if you come in with a word, the authentic word, you know, it's all the same. It's all aligned. You know, and I do appreciate each and every time that you come. And I know that you love the Lord, and I know that you're sold out for the Lord. And I do appreciate when you come to share this with the body of Christ. There are a lot of numbers on. There are a lot of numbers from different states. It's just they're not saying anything. But that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
At one time, I used to think that you know, you had to, you know, to be responsive. There are those who don't say nothing, but who are being fed.
Mm-hmm.
Don't say a word, but are being fed. You know, so we all get the words. You know, we receive in different ways, and I do appreciate you coming on. And again, it's all about, you know, the word does not come back void. When you come speaking the word of God, you know, somebody is going to receive the word. And the way I come from, if one gets it, I'm okay with that. You know, it don't have to be the whole crowd.
That's right.
The whole crowd. You know, the Lord says when there's two or three that come together, you know, or two or three to get it. So I do thank you for coming on and being a part of this hour. Are there any comments as we come to a close?
I just want to say to Bishop, I'm always talking about teaching and that we have to be taught. And if our people are not taught, they sometimes they're just like children. If you don't train them up, they don't know. They don't know how to handle certain things. So I thank you for teaching and preaching the word of God and bring that truth forward to us and those who are listening, that we may be able to grow thereby. Because if we don't get if we don't hear the word, we don't know. We don't know. If you're not teaching them, they don't know it. Some of us are not there where we can go in and pull it out ourselves. We need people like you that is willing to take the time to study it and bring it to us. So thank you very much for that tonight.
Amen. Praise God. We thank you again. Thank you. Praise God for that and for the opportunity. You know, the invitation is an honor. And thank you so much. Keep me in prayer as well.
Sure will.
Amen. We all have to keep each other in prayer. Amen. And thank you again, once again. May God bless you. Remember, we love you, but God loves you.
Love you.
Amen. Amen.
I face the dawn.